Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Let's go together to Matthew 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 12. We're doing a series at the moment called The Blessed Ones. The Blessed Ones. Do we have any blessed people in the house today? Wow, just a few. Wow, what's going on, guys? Do I need to go back to last week's message and preach that again? Christians are blessed. People of God are blessed. It's not about material blessings. It's not about when things are going well. It's not about status. It's not about wealth. It's about having God in our lives. We talked about it last week. We mainly focused on in the Beatitudes where it says, the blessed people are those that are poor in spirit. It's blessed to be poor in spirit. We talked about what that means last week. And if you missed that, go back to our podcast and listen to that. There's these Beatitudes that we're going through at the moment. There's 8 of them. And last week we went through the first one. Today we're going through the second one. And we're just going to keep taking it week by week and just letting those words wash over us. So I'm going to read, and then we'll have a bit more of a look at it. Verse 1 says, seeing the crowds, talking about Jesus, he says, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your presence that has brought us here. Your presence that is in this place, in us and around us. Holy Spirit, would you speak directly to each person this morning? No matter what our weeks looked like, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. We thank you that your word is available. Your spirit is here. Your wisdom is in your word. Lord, would you do heart surgery on our hearts, each one of us. Convict us. Do a work of transformation that only you can do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So these Beatitudes, that word Beatitude comes out of a Latin word. Beatus or something like that. I can't pronounce it. It's B-E-A-T-U-S, but it means blessed. And so the Beatitudes about what it looks like to be blessed. And Jesus has been talking amongst the crowds all around Jerusalem. He's been telling them that you need to repent. You need to change your ways. He's saying because the kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying, God is available. His presence is here. He's saying, I am here. My kingdom is at hand. And he's telling them, repent. Change how you think. Change your mindset. Line up how you live with what God desires. He's saying this to them. And he's speaking with such authority. He's doing miracles. He's doing signs, wonders. People are getting healed. And he has people following him everywhere. Crowds following him. And then at this spot in Matthew 5, it says, seeing the crowds, he goes up on the mountain. He sits on that mountain and his disciples gather around him and all these crowds gather around him and he starts to tell them what it is to be blessed. That was just an introduction for him to his Sermon on the Mount. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It goes Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those two chapters. It's the longest sermon recorded in the Gospels where he's talking about many different things of how he desires for people to live this life, of what we've been created to be and how we are to live. But what people quickly notice is that, wow, there's something different about what this guy's saying. It's upside down. It's different. The world says that to be blessed is to have power. To be blessed is to have wealth. To be blessed is to have all these things in the healthiest relationship. Look at me, I am blessed. But he says, no, to be blessed is to be poor in spirit. To be blessed is to be meek, to be gentle, to be a peacemaker, to be one that's persecuted, to be one that shows mercy, to be one that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He tells them this is what it looks like to be blessed. He says it's not the same thing as the Pharisees who are all about legalism, doing what the law says and based on what they do, how right they are, they would feel that they're blessed. But he's saying it's not about that. It's about your heart. It's about obeying from your heart what the Lord is asking you to do. So he tells them what it is to be blessed. It's upside down from what the world says. You think about those things, being humble, being poor in spirit, being meek, being a peacemaker. Who wants to be a peacemaker? We just want to keep the peace. We don't want conflict. We want to keep the peace. Let's not talk about it. They're saying, peacemakers, the one that will confront with the truth in love, they are the ones that are blessed. So he gives us all these things. But when you see those eight things, you actually realize you can't do any of them without the Holy Spirit. You can't live the way of the Beatitudes without the Holy Spirit. And it all starts with being poor in spirit, which means depending on God. Realizing that we need God. I cannot do this by myself. Doesn't matter how much money I have. Doesn't matter how many connections I have. How much property I have. How much success by the world's terms I have. I need God. And there's nothing wrong with all those things. What's wrong with all those things is when we love them more than we love God. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So it's being poor in spirit doesn't mean we're poor. And God talks about in the Bible how we're to treat the poor. We are to look after the poor. But what Jesus is talking about here is about being dependent on him, realizing that we need him. So it starts with being poor in spirit. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The ways of God are theirs. The things that come with God's will and desires, they're for those that are poor in spirit, those that are desperate. For God to have any say and have any way in our lives, we all have to come to that point continually, daily, of being poor in spirit. So we talked about that last week. Check out the podcast if you haven't heard that, if you missed that last week. But today we're going to look at the second one, which is blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Think about mourning. When you think about mourning, how does the world see mourning? You know, that can be seen as a weakness to mourn. It's such a natural part for all of us to mourn. But the world can see that as a weakness. We can see that as a weakness. We can go, there's a time for it. Or it can actually be seen, if you talk to psychologists and counselors, as a healthy thing to mourn. But blessed? Blessed are those who mourn? That's just, how is that? How is mourning something that is a blessing. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That word mourn in the Greek is pentheo, and it means to mourn. It means to be sad. It means to grieve over something, to grieve over someone, to mourn, to lament. To lament over something. To lament is that deep grief. You know, that can lead to crying and wailing. You know, when I think about mourning, I just remember funerals back in Zimbabwe where literally you're at a funeral, someone's died. There's a few people there. Someone gets off the public transport. They start walking towards the house. They're all good. As they get close to the house, like, they start going crazy. But it's genuine, but they're waiting for this moment. And they're like falling everywhere. Like, it used to scare me. I just scared someone for that moment. But, well, you thought I was crazy. But it's what I thought when I was a kid. But they're crying, they're wailing, they're mourning, they're lamenting, they're letting it out. Different cultures do it in different ways. And there's something so healthy about it. But the world also teaches us to just keep it in. It's like, boys don't cry. Men don't cry. We were made to cry. We were made to cry. When we don't cry, we're just stopping ourselves from being ourselves. It's not healthy. When you think about mourning, it's a feeling. We all have feelings. It's an emotion. But it's more than that. It's actually a process. Grief is a process that we go through. The blessed ones mourn. So what is it that one mourns over or grieves over? What do you grieve over as a person? When I think about mourning and grieving, I think as people, we mourn and grieve over something that has happened to us. What happens to you? What happens to you is what you mourn over, is what takes you into that place of grief. It's what's happened to you. What's happened to me? It's what has happened to you that you'll be sad about, that you can be sad about, get to be sad about. What are some of those things? Loss. Loss in our lives. Maybe loss of relationship. Maybe loss of a loved one. Maybe financial loss. It could be death, abandonment, when someone abandons us or we feel abandoned. These are things that happen to us. Being betrayed. Ever had someone betray you? What happens to you is something that you will mourn. Maybe not being seen. Rejection. When people just don't notice you or it seems like they don't care about you. We've all felt that. Feeling unnoticed, feeling unseen. Is it just me or can you guys relate to that? Things that we mourn over. It's important for you and I to tend to our hearts. We all need to tend to our hearts. Pay attention to the things that are happening in our hearts. We got to let ourselves feel the feels. Hey, there's a lot of feels that we get to feel that we can just block out. But you got to let yourself feel the feels. You're allowed to. The Lord gives you permission. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You want comfort? It only comes when you actually mourn. Who doesn't want comfort? We need comfort. And we do seek comfort. The question is, where do you seek comfort? Who do you seek comfort from? What do I look to for comfort? Who do I look to? And it's so easy to actually get stuck in our own emotions, in our own worlds, because we all go through stuff. But we can, because of what happens to us, what they did to you, what they did to me, we can actually get stuck in that place of mourning. But as we go through these processes of mourning, hopefully we come to a point where we actually look outside ourselves and see that actually what makes people mourn, what people mourn over, is what happens to others. That it's not just what happens to us, but we can actually mourn what's happening to someone else. We hear someone else's story. Oh, their wife left them. How do you feel when someone's wife or partner has left them? Or something's been stolen from them. Or they've lost a child. They've had a miscarriage. There's so many things that people are going through. It's not just me. It's not just you. So it's what has happened to others that we mourn over. Where does one find comfort? Where do you find comfort? Everyone's going through something. Everyone. And we should never, I should never compare what I'm going through to what someone else is going through. If you only knew what I was going through, that's petty what you're talking about. Look at what I'm going through. Like, we all go through stuff. And we don't compare. We learn from others. We support others. But when we start to compare, it takes something away from others and from us. Everyone's going through stuff. Even when things are going well. That's what being blessed is about. No matter whether things are going great or things are not going so good, you still have the joy of the Lord. He's with you. God says in His Word in 1 Corinthians 10:13, I will not allow you, I will not let you go through anything that you cannot bear, because I will always give you a way out, a way through. We just want Him to give us the way right there and there, but He gives us a way through. He goes through the process with us. It says, no temptation or trial has seized man except what is common to man. And the Lord will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you can bear. People say, oh, God will not give you more than you can handle. That's not the word. He'll give you more than you can handle, because He wants to come alongside you and help you through it. So the world does offer us help and comfort. There's so many different healthy things we can do. Go to the doctor, see psychiatrists, go to counselors. They're all helpful things and healthy things. We can have friends we can talk to. But if we don't look to God when we're going through all these things, if we don't look to God, we just get caught up in this vicious cycle of temporary happiness. Things are going well. I'm happy. To then unfulfillment. You're just not fulfilled because you're not looking to God. You're not allowing God to take you through that suffering process. Suffering is part of life, not just life, but the Christian life, the God life that He's created you and I to have. So we're to look to Him. We notice, oh, I mourn because of what happens to me, what's happened to me, but I also mourn about what happens to others. And as we do that, we actually need to go to the Lord as we look to God for help. Say, Lord, what is happening? I'm going through stuff. They're going through stuff. And as you look to God, as you depend on Him, as we come to Him, pour in spirit. guess what he does? He shows us what's happening to him. He goes, oh, he's allowed to say this. Oh, you think you're going through something? He goes, do you know who I am? I can sort that out. But have you seen what I'm going through daily? Have you seen what happened to me since day one? But I'm still here. So we need to look at what has happened to God. God himself mourns. He mourns. He grieves. He grieves over you and I. When we just do things our own way. When we ignore him. When we don't pay attention to him. He grieves. He mourns. But he keeps showing up. He keeps hoping. He keeps trusting that we'll come around. His own son, Jesus Christ, went through it. You know, we're told in the Bible, in the gospel, that each one of us, all of mankind have messed up. We mess up. None of us are perfect. We've all been separated from God because of what man has done. What Adam and Eve did in that garden. We find out in Genesis that all have sinned and fall short of his glory. The Bible tells us that because of sin, we've been separated from God. He created you and I for relationship with him. But as we're born as sinners. We just want to do our own thing. He's patient with us. He was patient with his people over the generations. He gave them many ways to come back, but they would keep going back, backwards. So what did he do? He gave his one and only son. We should never tire of hearing this. His one and only son, Jesus Christ. God himself sends his son to live on this earth. Shows us through things like the Beatitudes how we're to live. He just doesn't speak it. He demonstrates it. People spit on him. People beat him up. People accuse him falsely. People speak bad of him. All things we can relate to some extent. And yet Jesus never did one wrong thing. He was fully God, but he was fully man. He was fully like you and I. Showed us how to love. Showed us how to live with others. But a price had to be paid. We sung it this morning. Jesus paid it all. A price had to be paid for you and I and all of mankind to be in relationship with God. That someone had to die. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We all have sin in us. He's holy. Man is a sinner. And we need Jesus. And so Jesus was sent, who is holy. He lived and he died and he rose again. He took your death and my death. Took your place and my place. He defeated death through that whole process of him dying, of him saying, Father, why have you forsaken me? Him even saying, I don't want to go to the cross, but yet he did. God mourned over that. And God grieves when people don't pay attention to it. So he knows what it is to grieve. He knows. And he's with us. So we look to him. We look to him. And we see that he mourns over his people. He mourns over people that are lost, that don't know him. But we can get caught up in the things that grieve us. Whereas when we look to him, yes, he comforts us. But then we start to see how he sees. We start to see our issues in light of who he is. We start to see our issues in light of eternity. That the things we're going through, as hard as they are, they're only temporary. What matters the most is our eternal destination, is our purpose of why has he got me here today? And he wants to show himself. So as we mourn, we actually come to this place where he shows himself. Our hearts and eyes are open to his grief over us. And what we start to do is we start to grieve over what we have done. Because he's played his part, but are we playing our part? we start to see, well, we have a part to play. We need to be poor in spirit. We need to seek Him every day. We need to come to a place of delighting in His presence, delighting to hear from Him, delighting to be in His Word, delighting to get to know Him more. He wants to be known. He's made Himself known through the Word. And He just wants us to be open to Him. So when we come to Him in this place of mourning, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says these words. When we talk about grief, there's grief that's different to how the world grieves. This is the godly kind of grief. It says, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Whereas worldly grief produces death. So, you know, in the world when we do something we shouldn't have done, that we actually regret it. We regret it. We just wallow in it. We feel sad. We become victims of the whole thing. We make ourselves victims. We just wallow in it. And all it does is we try to make up for it. We try to get other people's approval. We try to get our own approval. And it just leads to things dying in us. It just leads to death. It doesn't lead to life or joy. But when we actually come to the point of, without God, I am nothing. He's my creator. He has the answers. He's the source. When we come to Him as that, He starts to show us where we fall short, and all of us fall short. And we can't help ourselves until God helps us. Then He gives us what we need to help ourselves. It's called co-laboring with God. We can't just do it ourselves. And even as Christians, we get His help and then we move away from His help and try and do it ourselves. But when we notice who we are in Him and what He has done, we keep coming back to this place of repentance, which means our mindset changes to align with His mindset, to align with His will. And then we see where we fall short and we say, God, help us. And it doesn't mean we're feeling bad all the time, but it's just accepting that whilst we're on this earth, there's going to be challenges. Whilst on this earth, we're going to fall short. And that's why we need the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll send you the Comforter, the Paraclete in Greek. He's one that comes alongside you to comfort you. Why would He send a Comforter if we didn't need comfort? We go, why am I going through all these things? God knows what you're going through. He knows what's happening with your family. He knows what's happening with your mom. He knows what's happening with your children. He knows. But He's going, I'm here and I know I have the solution. Call upon Me, the Comforter. So when we're repentant, it leads to salvation. What does salvation mean? It means to be saved, saved from sin, saved from eternal separation from God in hell. But it also means to be healed. It also means to be delivered so you can walk in freedom. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. See, when you're saved, when you say yes to Him, you then don't keep looking back to what you've done and keep regretting it. You actually go, He's wiped it all away. He's wiped it. You don't regret that anymore. You just move forward in God to grow in Him. So if we open our hearts to Him, not just once, we need to open our hearts to Him daily, being poor in spirit, depending on Him. If we open our hearts to Him, not just once, but daily, we come to a place of mourning that leads to repentance and healing. There is a mourning that Jesus is talking about. This mourning is not just about what happens to us or what happens to others. This is a mourning about what is on God's heart. He mourns when people on a Sunday are just out and about, not observing the day of the Lord. They're choosing other things over Him, over worshiping Him with other believers in spirit and in truth. He mourns when we're sitting at work and we have an opportunity to talk to our colleague about him. But then we just kind of go, oh, this is not the time, when he's saying this is the time. He mourns over the wars in the world, as much as that's part of what is happening and he knows about. He mourns over death. He mourns over your children that don't know him yet, that haven't said yes to him. Are these the things that we mourn over, that we grieve about? Or do we just get caught up in our own things, which he still cares about? But the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Are you guys getting something from this morning? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When's the last time you repented of something? Just think about that. When's the last time that you repented? To repent is actually realize, I've fallen short. I've done something wrong. I've done something that does not line up with God, with who he is, with his character. Or I've thought something that doesn't line up with him. I've sinned. I need to change my mind. I need to turn around. When's the last time that you actually repented? You took a moment to say, Lord, I'm sorry about this specific thing. Have we got too good for forgiveness? Too good to ask him for forgiveness? Or maybe we've come to a point where we feel like, oh, I've just keep messing up the same thing over and over again. What's the point of asking him to forgive me? Because I know I'm just going to do it again. We need to go beyond that point and be desperate for him. Come to the end of ourselves, no matter what we've done. Realize, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm sorry. It was just yesterday. I'd gone for a run, park run, and I'm running with people that I've actually been praying for in my running club, where I've been saying, Lord, this is part of a list of people I want to see you come and save. They're lost. And I saw three of them yesterday in the morning. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Got to run with them, got to talk with them. But as I was finishing my run with two of these guys, I'd run with them on Tuesday mornings. It's part of the run club at 6 a.m. But I'm like, I'm not going to be there at 6 a.m. because this is just not going to work, because I'm going to be here praying. So I had an opportunity to say, hey, boys, you won't see me Tuesdays going forward because we've got a new prayer meeting at church. And they know I'm a pastor, but we haven't gone there yet. The good old Steve in the flesh, knowing what I should do. Hey, boys, I won't see you Tuesdays. Yeah, I've got a new thing happening at work. See you later. That was it. And I'm running there by myself going, oh, dude, what was that? You had an opportunity to just sow a seed. Because if I had said, hey, we've got a new prayer meeting at church, I just don't know what that's going to strike in their hearts. I don't know what the Spirit's already talking to them about. But I felt to apologize to the Lord. Say, God, help me to not be ashamed of the gospel. So next time I get an opportunity, I'm going to be bringing that thing in. Because you're all going to keep me accountable. True? And you're all going to be telling us your stories. Hey, how was the weekend yesterday? I mean, what'd you do on the weekend? Oh, yeah, went to this party, went shopping. And, yeah, it was a great weekend. How was yours? We always miss out the Sunday part, the went to church. Dude was in church at 9 o'clock until 1 p.m. He just missed the whole thing. Who can relate to that? A few of us. Yeah, the rest of you always tell people that you went to church and you have great conversations. Keep it going. That's awesome. But that grieves the Lord. It grieves the Lord because he uses those things to plant seeds, and you just don't know what conversation is going to take place. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When he talks about that comfort, that Jesus is talking about. This is actually the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy given by Isaiah in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus is telling them this. But Isaiah himself said these words about comfort. And Jesus himself repeats the words of Isaiah, saying these words are fulfilled today. These are the words, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Jesus was going to come to comfort those who mourn. We're not always going to be mourning, guys. It's just part of it. It's part of it. There's a mourning. There's a time to mourn. There's a time for everything. But this mourning leads to a repentance that brings healing, as we're actually being straight up with the Lord about where we're at. As followers of Jesus, we mourn and we receive comfort because we have the comforter. When's the last time you mourned? When's the last time you grieved something over something? When's the last time you cried? What was it about? See, grief is mourning over the loss of something that we hold dear. What do you hold dear? What did you hold dear that you are mourning over? Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe someone's sickness. Maybe you've lost something. Whatever it is, the question is, have you given that to God? When we grieve, when we mourn, life can seem so unfair or be so unfair, whichever way you want to say that. But have you given it to the comforter? Or are you just looking at it in your own strength, from your own point of view? Or are you engaging with the paraclete? Thessalonians 4:13 says that our mourning does not turn to the grief of those who have no hope. I'll just read that real quick. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it talks about that. The way we grieve is not to be like the way the world grieves. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Because Jesus defeated death, because he rose again, we have hope. We have hope that we're going to see him one day. But it's not just about then. It says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom now. There is his kingdom presence in the now, where even though we mourn, there is still joy. Even though we mourn, there's still a rejoicing. Because we know that we're going to see him. And if we've lost loved ones, we know we're going to see them if they knew or know Jesus. So no matter what we're going through, even when we mourn in our suffering, we don't grieve like the world does, because we know God is with us. We know he's up to something that we can't see. We know he's sovereign. He is doing something. We might not see it, but he's making a way. We know it's all for his glory. So we don't mourn or grieve like people that don't have purpose. But this whole mourning leading to repentance is us even looking at ourselves as believers, looking at the sin in our lives. And we got to do this morning in our encounter prayer service. We were challenged. One of the men opened up about struggling with things that most men or all men struggle with. Whether that's lust of the eye, sexual thoughts, whether that's anger, whether that's that love of money. When you hear someone being so transparent, it opens up the doors of our hearts to go, wow, it's not just me. But that morning, you realize how you fall short and you see God's love. It's unconditional. Doesn't matter what you've done. He still loves you. He loves me and he forgives. And that leads to healing. So there's mourning in the now, but there's joy in the now. But when it comes to that day we see Jesus, when his kingdom is fully established, the Bible tells us in Revelation 7:17 that for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. This is in heaven. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. Talking about Jesus, he says, he will guide them to springs of living water and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. After that, there will be no more crying. There will be no more tears because he will wipe them away. This is the hope that we have. So the time to mourn is now. The time to tend to our hearts is now. But we don't get stuck in ourselves. See, true repentance opens our eyes. True repentance opens our eyes to what God sees. We get to see what God sees. When we come to him going, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. He shows us what he sees. He helps us look at each other through his eyes, look at ourselves through his eyes. And he starts to show us what moves him. Just ask yourself right now, what moves the Lord? What is it that moves his heart? What does he weep over? What does he get grieved by? Because those are the things that he wants to burden you and I with. Those are the things he wants us to pray about on a Tuesday morning. Pray about as we walk the streets of our neighborhood. He grieves over your street. He grieves over your non-believing friends and family. So this comfort that we're talking about, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Ian, if you could join me. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This comfort he's talking about, it's actually a comfort. Who's felt that comfort? Who knows the comfort of the Holy Spirit when you go through some things? Do you know that comfort, Ben? Do you know that comfort of the Holy Spirit? Has he comforted you when you've gone through some stuff? That comfort, everyone, is a comfort to be shared. It's not just a comfort for me. It's not just a comfort for you. It's so good when the Holy Spirit comforts you. When's the last time you cried? I cry almost every Sunday here. He just moves my heart. But the comfort that I receive and that you've received from the Holy Spirit, that's always available. It's one that is to be shared. It's not just for you. So we can notice the things that happen to us. But when he shows us the things happening to others, we need to be available to bring them comfort, to be vessels that are poor in spirit, saying, God, use me. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's actually 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm just going to read this out to you. It's about his comfort. He's a God of all comfort. It's a comfort to be shared. It says, blessed. That word just comes up again. We heard that word again today earlier, that blessed are those who trust in God. But this says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly, in Christ's sufferings, we get to share in His sufferings. So through Christ, we share abundantly to comfort you. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. The comfort comes as we patiently endure. Don't stop enduring, church, whatever struggles you're going through. I get encouraged when I see people come up for prayer. And no matter what, you know, whether they feel God's answered the prayer or not, people don't give up. Don't give up. Keep asking. The Bible says, ask, seek, knock. That actually means keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. He knows what you need, but He loves it when you depend on Him and you don't give up and you keep coming. So this comfort is one to be shared. We start to see what happens when we look to Him, not to just ourselves. We start to see Him as who He is, and we see ourselves as He sees us. So no matter what you're going through, maybe it's persecution. Maybe people are falsely accusing you because of how you love the Lord, how you represent Him at work. If you see yourself as a child of God, you know blessed are those who are persecuted. You know blessed are those who mourn. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. He says there will be suffering, but let not your heart be troubled. He says, I have overcome the world. It's easy to forget His word when we're right in the midst of the situation. But when we tend to our hearts, we see Him rightly. We see our situation as He wants us to see it. He brings healing. We notice what others are going through, and we make them available. We make ourselves available for them as God leads. The word says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. This is what we're instructed to do until Jesus comes. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I want to ask you today, church, who has God used you to comfort? Just think about that for a moment. Lord, who have you used me to comfort, to bring your comfort? Or maybe vice versa, and it should be both. Who has God used to bring you His comfort? Who have you made yourself available to, for God to work through them? We're all called to this, to be priests to one another. Because everyone's going through something. And you know, when we don't tend to our own hearts, when we don't address the things in our hearts, when we don't mourn, when we don't grieve, when we don't go through the process and give it to God, we actually block someone else's comfort. Because there's a comfort that is to come through you, that is to come through in situations that you're going through. So Lord, help us to be a people that tend to our hearts. We are to live as repentant people who stay close to God. Live as repentant people who stay close to God and comfort others. Every day we're to repent, because we mess up every day. All the time. But God's always reminding us. Remember what we said last week. The capacity to respond to God depends on your poverty of spirit. If you're dependent on Him, you'll hear what He's asking you to do, and He'll give you what you need to do that. But if we're not in a place of depending and being hungry for Him, we won't hear what He's saying. And even if we do hear what He's saying, we'll just turn the other way.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.